together. Martin Luther, the great reformer, talked about prayer as being like breathing. So just as breathing is to the physical life, so prayer is to the spiritual life. It's essential. In other words, you can't live without breathing. You can't live as a Christian without prayer. As the old hymn puts it, prayer is the Christian's vital breath. Prayer is essential. Prayer is at the heart of the Christian life. And one of the huge encouragements, I think, in these days is the way that prayer is being emphasized through movements like 24/7 prayer, Pete Gregg in the UK, Christine Kane and Tyler Staton in the US. You may know of some of these people, of their writings. They are well, well worth seeking out. And it's exciting that younger people, a new generation, pastors and people are prioritizing prayer and saying, if we're going to be nothing else, we will be people who pray. But actually, the Western church and the North American church is only catching up with where the global church is. In Africa, in Korea, for example, it's Korea that I know the best. There is a tremendous emphasis on prayer. I told this story before, but when I preached in Korea, it was, I'm probably never going to have this experience again. In reality, the place was large, the place was full, the car park of the church was a multi-story car park. You get the picture, a big, big thing. And just an extraordinary experience, and so welcoming and wonderful. And afterwards, they showed me around the building. And you went down a couple of floors and you looked at the youth department. You went down a couple more floors and you looked at the children's work. You went down a couple more floors and you looked at the kitchens and other things that you had. And you went down and down. And then you got to the basement. And what they had in the basement was places for prayer, rooms for prayer, maps for prayer. And they had prayer cells where people were praying and praying and praying. And they said, as you were preaching, as we were having the service, there were people here. There was a group here who was praying. There was a people in these cells who were praying specifically for the service, specifically for the preaching, specifically for you. Incredibly moving. Why does the church in the majority world have a particular power? Why is the church in many places in Africa growing, in Latin America, in South Korea, where there are some of the biggest congregations in the whole world? The reasons are probably complex, but I think I know one, and I think you do too. It is the priority that people put on prayer. The priority that people put on the Christian's vital breath, on breathing, that is the heartbeat of the Christian life. And so what we're looking at in this mini-series is absolutely vital. A recap on last time. We have an invitation to pray from God himself because of what Jesus has done. Prayer shouldn't really be possible. But because of the work of Jesus, because of what we read in Hebrews chapter 10, that there is a new and living way into the presence of God, we are invited to call God Father at the very beginning of the Lord's Prayer. We have that relationship with him that because of what Jesus has done, we can express in prayer. So exciting, so wonderful. Pray as you can, not as you can't. Was that the big idea really from last time? Start as you are. And actually, in many ways, that's how we'll go on, and that's how we'll finish. What is the very first prayer that many people pray? Is it not, Lord, help me? And what is the very last prayer that many people will pray? Lord, help me. What are we going to pray in the middle quite often when we are 20, 30, 40, however long God gives us, when we're in the middle of the night, when we're in the middle of the day? Isn't it often, Lord, help me? Those prayers are good because we are expressing our dependence on God. And in many ways, we're never going to get beyond that. We're never going to leave that behind. The beginning, the middle, the end of our spiritual life, that is going to be our prayer. And there is encouragement to pray as you can, not as you can't. Psalm 22 was the psalm that we looked at, and it begins not with praise, not with worship, not with fine-sounding words, but with a cry from the heart, my God, why have you forsaken me? The cry that was taken up by Jesus when he was on the cross. Pray as you can, not as you can't. Be specific. Give God the opportunity to either disappoint you or delight you. You know, the prayers that sometimes we bring, Lord, bless all the people in all the nations, in all the world. You know, it's so vague. You know, it's not a bad prayer, but is God answering that prayer? Well, who knows? You know, pray specific prayers that we can look to the answers for. And God is interested in our daily bread. Matthew 6:11, we are called to pray for the very stuff of life. So the big, big, big things, pray bold prayers, but also the very small things. Nothing is too small to escape the attention of our wonderful God. And we are encouraged, the verses that I've put down on the screen, ask, seek, knock. In a future message in this series, we'll think about those words and think about God calling us into relationship with him. That seeking, that knocking, we are getting closer to him. And we are even enjoying table fellowship with our wonderful God. But also in those words, there is the encouragement to ask, not to be afraid, whether it's daily bread, whether it's some huge thing that is looming large in our lives, whether it's for a national situation, whether it's for ourselves, whether it's for others, we are encouraged to ask God in prayer. I'm going to say some other things today, but it's not that we are somehow moving away from that. I want to hit this point hard because I think I'm speaking with the zeal of the converted here. I think I used to think that me prayers, they're selfish prayers, and actually that's okay at the beginning of the Christian life, but we need to move away from that. We need to be praising, we need to be thanking, we need to be listening, we need to be praying big kingdom prayers and leaving the small stuff behind. But I don't think that's the pattern that the scriptures give us. In our relationship with God, we are to pray all kinds of prayers. Whatever's on our heart and our mind, we express our relationship to God. And it's not that we move away from those things, but we do add in other things that grow larger and more dominant in our prayer lives, so that praise and thanks and confession and kingdom praying just becomes bigger and bigger. And yes, we're still praying, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. But there are other things that are part of our prayer lives that are just leading us on in different ways of prayer. So it's an addition rather than a moving on from the things that we talked about last week. So let's think about praying the kingdom. And this is the next slide. The phrase in the Lord's Prayer, which is our theme verse today, Matthew 6, verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is God's space, and it's where his rule and writ are established and they are perfectly followed. And the prayer here is for heaven to come to earth, for God's rule and reign to be absolutely clear in this world. What a great prayer that is. And we recognize that God, Jesus, is the rightful Lord of the whole cosmos. Someone has said there is not a split second, not a square inch over which Jesus does not say, "Mine." Jesus is Lord. But there is a spiritual battle going on in this world, and although, as people say, he is the rightful Lord, the difference between de jure and de facto. De jure, he is the rightful Lord, but de facto, he's not in every respect just yet. The devil holds sway in various places. People don't bow the knee before him and receive his love. There is injustice. There is hatred. There is unforgiveness. There is lies. And so we pray for God's kingdom to come, his love, his grace, his mercy, in a myriad of ways over the world, for his rule and reign to be fully established. One day Jesus will come again and we will see that kingdom come most fully. But the kingdom is growing here and now, in small ways, in big ways, right across our city and right across our world. And we pray into that big and wonderful kingdom prayers, small and wonderful kingdom prayers. And so the call, and this really is the big idea for today, is to put God's concern at the heart of our prayers. And we do see this in the Lord's Prayer, in the pattern that is given to us, and in the order this is given to us. So yes, sometimes we will just pray, "Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me." Sometimes we will pray, "Lord, have mercy." Sometimes we won't have the words. Sometimes we will cry upwards, and that is all that we can do. But at other times, we will pray like this. Jesus' disciples come to him, and they say, "Teach us to pray." And this is how he responds. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." We are to pray to God as Father, and we are to worship him. To hallow means to make holy, to set apart. And yes, he is holy anyway, but we are to recognize that holiness. We are to bow the knee before him in worship and praise. It is centered on our wonderful God. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, not my needs and desires central. It's your will. We focus on God's kingdom and on his will. Yes, we pray for daily bread, but that is very much within the context of this wider prayer. And you notice that it's plural as well. Give us today our daily bread. We are to pray for ourselves, of course. I am to pray for myself. You are to pray for yourself. But we are to pray for one another, for daily bread, not just for me, but for you and for others. We are to come to God in confession. We are to pray for forgiveness. And we recognize that as we pray these kingdom prayers, we will be changed. It's one of the things about prayer that we haven't really yet picked up. Prayer changes things. I am convinced of it. As we intercede, God uses our prayers to change lives, to change situations, to change communities, to bring new things to birth in prayer. But one of the things that God also changes is us. As we pray, something happens. A channel is opened so that God works powerfully in our lives and he brings about change. And we see that explicitly set out for us here in this clause about forgiveness. We receive forgiveness from God, and as we receive that grace, we are changed so that we give grace to others. We receive with open hands, and with open hands we commend others to God, and we give forgiveness. As God forgives, and God forgives, and God forgives, and we recognize our freedom from sin and from guilt, a freedom and forgiveness that we never deserve, so something happens within us as we truly receive that forgiveness, as we pray day after day, confessing our sins and receiving his love and knowing the lightness of forgiveness. As that happens, then we are changed and we are enabled to forgive others. It's not here, although some people will say this, that we somehow earn forgiveness by forgiving others. That's not the meaning at all. But it's as we receive God's forgiveness, which always comes first, so we are enabled to forgive others, even as we have been forgiven. Do you see that this is God-centered? Do you see that this is kingdom prayers? Do you see that this is God in control and leading us forward? We see that in the verses that were read towards the end of Matthew 6 as well, about focusing on the treasure that comes from God, about serving God. Money is one of the things that can come in between us and God. There are other things too, including self and our own unreconstructed desires. But as we put God first and his kingdom first, then he blesses us richly, almost as a byproduct. And we find that we are living life more lightly, freely, wonderfully than we ever would be if we put ourselves first. And so the encouragement is to pray these wonderful kingdom prayers, to search for God's will in the scriptures and to pray into that. And as we come to the close of this, I am going to point out some practical ways that we can do this. We just go on to the next slide. There are the different ways that we can pray, and essentially I have gone through that with you, so you know this. I encourage you, as I encourage myself, to pray prayers of praise, to pray prayers of thanks, to confess to God, and to intercede, to hammer on the gates of heaven, and to ask for God to work in specific ways in our lives and in the lives of others. The final slide gives us some takeaways, and I am going to spend a little bit of time on this as we come to a close. So firstly, if we are going to be God-centered, be aware of the greatness and the grandeur of God. That word grandeur is in a poem by Gerald Manley Hopkins, where he talks about the glory and the majesty and, yes, the grandeur of God. And it's so wonderful. And we need to recognize that. If we are going to pray God-centered kingdom prayers, we need to see ourselves in right relationship with God. An American president of a past generation, I think it was Theodore Roosevelt, used to be involved in great affairs of state, obviously, and he'd be dealing with huge, huge things And he wanted to make sure that he and God were in right relationship. So when he had been dealing with some billion-dollar thing, when he had been dealing with some great issue of home policy or foreign policy, he would sometimes walk out of his office, at the Oval Office perhaps where he was, and he would be outside on the lawn and he would look up and he would see the stars, he would see the galaxies, he would see some of the planets, he would begin to count them until he felt small enough. And then he would go back inside and continue with his work. Sometimes we feel really, really big. You know, we think that we're doing these amazing things, and we may well be, because the work that we're doing matters hugely to God, whatever it is, and our lives matter to God. But we can think that we are the center of the universe, that we are the people who are calling the shots. And it is helpful, however we do it, to have ways where we come back to God and we recognize the grandeur of God and we see ourselves in right relationship with him. A takeaway might be to occasionally go out and to count the stars and to do that until you feel small enough. One of the things that I've been trying to do, although I've not been able to do it every day because I just struggle with doing this, is to take 5-6 minutes at the beginning of a time of prayer just to sit in silence, not to hear God speak, but just to try and recognize myself in right relationship with God. Sometimes I drift, sometimes something happens and thoughts come in. But I'm trying just to settle myself before God and to recognize his greatness and his grandeur before I pray. However we do it, it's a good thing to do, just to take time out to recognize that we are who we are and God is who he is. Second thing, listen to God and his concerns and be guided in prayer. Listening prayer is such a wonderful thing. And just to spend time in God's presence, maybe begin by saying, Lord, I'm listening. Lord, I'm here. Lord, I want to hear your voice. And my experience over the last 6 months is that God has put things into my mind, people, things that he's wanted to challenge me on. A prayer is a two-way thing. And so my encouragement to you this week would be to spend some time listening to God. And God speaks to us directly through a direct impression. He speaks to us through other people. He especially speaks to us through his word, the Bible. And it's a vital thing in terms of listening to him. And we need to put ourselves in the way of God's word so that we hear it and respond to it. Story from the week that's just gone about myself. I was at my old college, Spurgeon's College, essentially saying goodbye because my formal association with them is now ending. And a lovely time chatting to various people. And it came to the time, College Chapel, which always used to be such a huge thing in my life. And I knew that people had already drifted off. I was in the staff room with my cup of tea. I was chatting. I was quite happy. And I actually wasn't going to go. And just something said in my mind, no, this is really important. And you need to pray and you need to worship. And so I went to chapel, I confess, slightly reluctantly, leaving my half-drunk cup of tea in the staff room to get cold. And well, it was just a wonderful time. Someone who was a former student, who's now a regional minister, spoke from Esther and Claire, spoke about the importance of courage and moving forward, and it just spoke to me hugely. You know, sometimes when you hear a message or when you open the Bible, and yes, it's always the Word of God, but God just speaks to you very, very specifically, very explicitly, and you just know that God is challenging you and encouraging you, speaking directly into your life. It was one of those occasions. Even the fact, I won't go off into all sorts of detail, but even who it was, someone that I'd helped when she was a student, and now here she was and she was preaching. It was just, wasn't just the message itself, but it was who was saying it that just spoke so powerfully to me, and God was at work. And this is the point, I nearly missed it because I thought my half-drunk cup of tea was more important than hearing the Word of God, because I was comfortable, because I was happy sitting where I was. Some of the takeaways from today: be aware of the greatness and grandeur of God, listen to God and his concerns, and be guided in prayer. And I want to encourage you in at least one way this week: be intentional about listening to the voice of God when perhaps you don't feel like doing it. When you're there and you don't feel like opening the Bible. When it's your small group and you don't feel like going. That meeting, that prayer time that you're going to have with someone. Do something intentionally that just opens a channel for God to speak to you into your life about his concerns, and see what God does. And then the final thing, the encouragement for men and women to come to faith. We've been reading these verses in Matthew's Gospel over and over, and I've just been struck by Matthew 7:13-14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. God's kingdom is growing all over the world, and people are finding the narrow way and pressing into it. But in our own city, in our own places of work, in our own community and neighborhood, there are many, many men and women who don't know Jesus. And we need to be praying. We need to be praying for breakthrough in people's lives. We've heard already about two baptisms this morning. We need to be praying for more. And we need to be praying specifically in our own community, in our own gathering, in our own place. And I want to set myself a challenge. This is a challenge that I've been following for a while, and I need to keep praying. Encourage you just to think of three people who don't know Jesus. Maybe people in your family, maybe people in your place of work. If you want to pray for three, more than three, then that is great, but at least three, and bring those before God on a daily basis. That's a challenge. That's not easy to do. It's not something the devil is going to want us to do. So there is that additional difficulty that we are going to have to face. But three people who don't know Jesus, and to pray for God to break in and to save them, and to name those people specifically, explicitly before God, and to keep praying, to keep saying to God, will you work? Will you save? And it may be 20 years. It may be 20 minutes. Let's see what God can do and how quickly. Because he encourages us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants people pressing into his kingdom. He wants to see that transformation. If we are going to pray any kingdom prayer, may there be prayers for people to come to faith. Will you join with me? Will you pray for at least three in the week ahead? And if it's not successful, keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. God is working. These are prayers that he delights to hear. And more than that, they're prayers that he delights to answer. Let's pause together and just keep silence. And then I will lead us in a prayer, gathering up some of these thoughts. But let's just be quiet before God, first of all.